Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, hate crimes are up. Guess who got censured over libraries? And what's happening in the District 2 congressional race?
Well, that was fun, wasn't it?
Squirrels. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
We should be in the new studio next week, all things considered. We should be there. Unless something else comes up. So there you go.
Knock on wood. Yeah, somewhere.
Right there. There you go. All right. Well, hey, Josh, you wrote several columns this week we're going to refer to. But one of them was on this District 2 race, the Congressional District 2, mm-hmm. which has been redrawn to give a fair shot at black voters having their choice, something that has mm-hmm. not happened in Alabama before, except in Congressional District 7. But what we're seeing or not seeing is candidates getting in the race. I mean, what's going on, Josh?
Well, I think on the Republican side of things, I think that they're going to have to be pretty strategic in who they put up for this seat. You know, at best, it's going, you know, they have, and don't get me wrong, they have a shot here at this seat. It's not a majority minority district. Okay, so it's 58% or 48% black voters in that district, right. And so, but what you do have around Montgomery, in Montgomery and around Montgomery, are a lot of white voters. Who tend to lean more liberal or more moderate at least. Right. And so you've got to Bobby Bright those people. Right. You know what I mean? You got to Bobby Bright, Martha Roby, those folks. And so you've got to find somebody out of the pool of candidates on the Republican side who is moderate enough, and maybe a few somebody, so they don't trash each other and force themselves to the far, far extreme right in the primary, because that's what you're going to get down in the Wiregrass, is a lot of very far right voters that tend to vote for far right candidates like Barry Moore. Right. And so you're going to have to balance that out some way and hopefully can eliminate some of those folks from getting in the race, because you don't want it to push the more moderate candidates to say some things that they can't reel back in during the general. Right. But, you know, and then on the Democratic side, I think a lot of it is there's a lot of candidates who want this, who want to be in, who've said they're going to be in. But I think they're just kind of taking a wait and see approach with Stephen Reed, because that, let's be honest, that's where a lot of the money comes into this. Right. You know, but you got to have the financial backing. And so if Reed is going to get in the race, I think he does take some financial backing with him. I think some other candidates also, if they're going to get in the race, they take some financial backing. Anthony Daniels, for example, is a very, very attractive candidate for a lot of the business community. And so I just think that that's a lot of people are waiting to see what maybe those two guys are doing before they declare.
Well, also, too, though, in that if Stephen Reed were to get in the race, and any of the Democrats were to challenge him, that wouldn't be very politically good for them with Joe Reed at the helm of the Alabama Democratic Party. That could mm-hmm. cause some real damage to their political careers going forward.
Well, and I think that, like you said, Anthony Daniels can raise the money both locally and nationally. So that makes mm-hmm. him very competitive down there. And I think, you know, former Senator Dick Brubaker has talked about running, and Dick can run as a moderate. You know, there's some things that he's very socially conservative on, but he comes across as more of a moderate in a lot of ways.
He's certainly not an extremist.
He doesn't come across as a firebrand extremist. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't, you know, I can't in my mind pick out a white candidate in that area that could win that race, you know, could bridge, could weave that path. But it is not impossible, as you pointed out. But I think it's interesting.
Yeah, you know, they mentioned, there were some mentions of Pike Road Mayor Gordon Stone, you know, and I think he's kind of what they're looking for in that race for on the Republican side. You know, he's a well-liked guy. He's a moderate guy. He's not a crazy person. You know, I've talked to him a bunch of times. Yeah. He's a very sane individual who everybody kind of likes, you know, and he doesn't hold a lot of extreme positions on things. But he's also a Republican, and he would be a conservative. But so that's, I think that's where Republicans are kind of looking to shape it and keep it in that ballpark if they can, and avoid the, you know, the Marjorie Taylor Greene craziness. If they can at all. But yeah, no, I'll tell you this. The other thing that people often ask is, well, what, Stephen Reed's not really going to pass this up. You know, he's not really going to go. And I, you know, why? He's got essentially a really good job for life if he wants.
That's right.
And if he were to get into this election and win that seat, there's a possibility, you know, with other states that are fighting their maps, that this may get rolled back and then he's out completely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to leave that subject there. I want to get on to the next one. New FBI report on crime in the United States, and they've redone the way they handle statistics, so this is much more accurate than we've had in the past, according to them. But they've seen that violent crime is on the decline in the United States, which is a great thing to know. But on the other side, hate crime are on the rise, and that deals with anti-black crime, anti-Semitic crime, anti-gay and lesbian, transgender crime. These, Susan, have skyrocketed where violent crime has gone down.
Yeah, violent crime is down 1.7% in 2021, but as a leading example of how hate...
2022.
I'm sorry. Anyway, as a leading example is in Illinois, of how that landlord went and stabbed that Muslim child 27 times. I mean, these are violent crimes that just don't even register. I mean, they're up so high. And I think it has to do a lot with the culture wars that we're experiencing right now.
Well, one thing we know that, you know, not every culture war is followed by a shooting war, but every shooting war begins with culture wars. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some very... very good truth to that, Susan. What's your thoughts, Josh?
Yeah, you know, I would say that, you know, there's a big jump in LGBTQ crimes, crimes against folks of LGBTQ, and you know, you can trace that directly back to a whole political party at this point using those folks as targets, essentially, and calling them groomers, pretending as though they're harming children, they're looking to groom children to, you know, to molest them and things of that nature. And you know, and I apparently there's no shame in this.
Right.
There's no shame in the real world results of doing such things, because they are directly tied back to these efforts to attack books in a library so far that we're taking it so far that even if the author's last name is gay, we're banning the book, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just, these are the things that happen. These are the results of vilifying people to a degree that you're telling, you know, other folks who really aren't paying that close of attention to things, that they're harming, they're coming to harm your children.
Yeah. Well, that's going to have to be the last word on that one. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan reminded me during the break that I was wrong and she was right, and there's nothing new about that. It was 2021, not 2022.
You didn't have to do
that. I apologize. Well, listen, I understand my position in this relationship.
What's a girl to do?
Josh, just keep me under control. Like that. Another column you wrote this week had to do with, related to the death of former state Senator Roger Bedford. And Roger was a senator known for working hard for his district, bringing home goods and services and money to his district, yep. And was very district focused. And you wrote about how that idea of a locally focused candidate sort of went out of fashion between 2010 and 2014, and now is completely out of fashion. Where all politics used to be local, it is now all national. And the example you use is that Larry Stutz, a Republican, who had never done anything except deliver babies and try to kill people. Well, maybe he didn't try to kill them, but you know, there was an incident.
Calling Dr. Death for a reason.
Beat Roger in 2004 by 70 votes because he was a Republican.
Yeah, it's all, you know, we've divided up into teams now, and somehow people believe that if the team wins, they win. When that district is a shining example of how ridiculous that idea is. You had in Roger Bedford one of the most district-oriented, let's bring home the bacon for my folks. I mean, people used to literally, they made T-shirts about this man and his work. Okay, in that district. They made T-shirts making fun of the scandals that he was involved in because they loved him so much. I mean, my dad had a T-shirt that said, Roger Bedford, he might be a crook, but he's our crook.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody in that district actually believed that Roger Bedford was a crook. They thought that all this was politically motivated because he was so good at manipulating the folks and getting the money back to his district.
Right.
And I mean, that my dad worked for Caterpillar for years. Okay. Roger Bedford was like a god. I mean, it was, you know, that was his district. That was where he sold tractors, you know. And so the projects put food on our table, you know. And so it was, you know, I can't tell you how beloved he was among working class folks in that district. And then all of a sudden, almost overnight, he was, he was expendable. You know, he's just expendable.
I've got one more story about him before we move on. Jewel Daffron, who is a longtime viewer of ours, a former educator, retired educator, he used to call her, she's from his district, used to call her on his way to Montgomery to ask her advice, ask her input on things. So it wasn't just that he brought on the folk. He really talked to the people and cared about the people.
Yeah, no,
he was gone.
Yeah, he was that district. I mean, he'd go and eat with the folks for breakfast and, you know, hold the little old man meetings at wherever, you know, and he was those people, you know, all up until last week when we passed away. It was just the idea that you would replace him with a self-serving nobody. You know, like Larry Stutz, who's done nothing really for that district other than sit there as a Republican and pretend to be so conservative. And now he's going to suck billions of dollars away from the public schools over there, and they love their public education in that part of the state. And he's out fighting against them. And it's just, it's so wrong. You know, as way our government is designed, this is how you lose. This is how you lose every single day in government, is when you don't pay attention to local politics that really affect you.
That's right.
And you send somebody up there that's only interested in national pandering.
Well, and that's what's happened. You know, they've nationalized the party to the extreme right. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the detriment of the Republican Party. I mean, we're seeing this play out in Washington, D.C.
It's also
with
a detriment to the state as well.
Oh, yeah. And what is it's a detriment to human beings, you know, which not always politicians could be considered human beings. But the craziness that's going on in Washington right now is a direct result of this type of craziness, where they're not concerned about their district, they're concerned about Fox News and talk radio. And they do that down here too. I mean, they are concerned about what idiots say on talk radio that have 1,000 viewers, you know, and those are the same 1,000 viewers that are listening to the other talk radio. Mm-hmm. You're not reaching a bunch of people. Now, they may call us idiots too, but we reach 50 times the amount of people they do. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, which idiots do you really worry, should you worry about? I don't know, maybe. But this goes back, as Susan was pointing out before, and we talked about earlier, these culture wars. When this nation was founded, look, white guys of means had it made. It was, you want to take about making America great again? That was great for white guys with money, right? But it was rotten for everybody else. But the philosophy that it was based on is the Enlightenment era. I know there are people who will take exception with that because somehow God wrote the Constitution. I don't think that's true, and I think it dishonors God because true. This is so flawed. But the founding principles also had something in it, Josh, called self-determination. And it took decades and years and centuries for some of our people to get the chance at self-determination, black people, brown people, minorities, women. And so, Susan, here we are today where they're trying to take your right mm-hmm. of self-determination, mm-hmm. gay people's rights, mm-hmm. black people's rights, back. The only ones they don't want to take them away from is me, unless I think something different than them, then they'll jail right. me for it, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's basically, they don't have policies. And so they're saying, well, you know, you really should be afraid of this. Here's something, LGBTQ, they're indoctrinating the children. Oh, women are killing babies. We should put them in jail and possibly execute them. And this is something you should be afraid of, but I'm your savior from all of this stuff in your culture that you may or may not like. And that is the way of, you know, getting votes without actually governing.
They don't care about the culture, do they, Josh? It's really just politics.
No, well, it's really just their own self-enrichment. And there's a great political cartoon that has been around for a long time, and there's three people sitting at a table. At the end of the table is a rich old white guy, and he's got just a pile of money in front of him. To one side of him is a working-class white guy that's got a small amount of money in front of him, and across the table from him is a minority worker, and he's got an even smaller. And above the rich guy's head, he's talking to the white guy and says, careful, friend, he's coming for your money. And that's wraps up what we're dealing with here more than anything else. They have convinced two people who have more alike than anybody else here, the two working class folks, that they're each other's enemies. And that's mm-hmm. and they're taking the money from both of them on their yeah. way to the bank.
Well, unfortunately, a truth. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles. And it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Your home is your most valuable asset. But what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to the voice of Alabama politics. You know, you mentioned it earlier, Susan, that the banning of books or the removing books from the young adult section, the children's section, to another section of the library has become very, very popular because it gets people upset. Mm-hmm. I mean, Arthur Orr has gone so far as to say that there's pornography at the public libraries. I mean, Arthur Orr obviously has never watched his share of porn if he thinks picture books at the library are porn.
No, but anatomically correct ones?
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, but come on, let us be serious. There's not pornography there.
No.
This is what they're talking about is things that do have to do with racism, race, LGBTQ, sexuality, anything like that, they consider porn. Because if you're racist, you know, being a racist is your porn. I mean, you know, you like to see racism. You know, don't forget that the Nazis sent people to the South to study lynching and to study Jim Crow. Hitler sent people here to do that. Well, they sent them to Arkansas, but kind of the same.
Well, to figure out how to better do it in Germany.
In Germany. No, they wanted to see how you could have a free nation of people and yet take a whole class of people and subjugate them, mm-hmm. even though it was against the law. You know, mm-hmm. how did that work out? And they wanted to know how to do it themselves because they hadn't figured it out yet. They thought lynching was good.
Yes.
They thought this was a great crowd control, you know. But there is consequences to foolish behavior. The Ozark mayor was censured this past week because he tried to defund the library in Ozark. And the city council voted to censure him mm-hmm. after the public went, that guy's awful.
Let's not mm-hmm. also forget he sent threatening texts and emails regarding such things, you know, which is very unprofessional as a mayor. I know this threatening this threatening thing is becoming a cult part of our culture now, but it backfired on him.
Yeah.
Like a 3-2 vote, the city council went, you're getting censured, son.
And Josh, one of the things he used as his defense, and I don't know that he said Governor Kayabe's letter, which didn't say anything about defunding libraries. And he said that Will Ainge met with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, and that Will Ainsworth agreed with him. Now, I don't know where he got that from or if that's true or not. But these are thoughtful people. I think Ivy was trying to get information, but she wasn't coming out and trying to remove books and threaten people if they didn't do it.
No. So I think Ozark is a pretty good example. I mean, that's not exactly a bastion of liberalism there.
No.
And this is a pretty good example of where the numbers stand on this, okay? And you're talking about these people that are screaming about books in the library. Are a very tiny minority of people in this state that are just loud, and they have nothing but time on their hands to sit around and challenge books and send out emails and create Facebook groups and do dumb things like that and threaten people. And, you know, the Washington Post has done some stories about who these people are, and it's come down to, I mean, there was one lady who's challenged more books than anybody in America, one lady by herself. You know, and that's what we're dealing with here is most of these groups, if you actually tear into them and look at what we're talking about, are 15 to 20 members that are sending these things around and raising hell about things. And when it actually comes down to time for us to defund the libraries or to do stuff, hundreds and thousands of people show up to these protests against defunding the library or against banning books or against even moving books from somewhere, you know. And so I think our politicians, I know that the last week has taught us anything is that Republicans can't count. God knows they can't count votes. So maybe we could help them and count these people for them and show them that they're in the minority on this, even when you're screaming about kids and making crap up.
You know, the thing is, this is such a non-Republican idea. Republicans used to be about individual choice. They used to be about government restraint. So you've got now the big government coming in and telling librarians what they can and cannot have on the shelves because of some numbskull who doesn't like it.
It's worse than that, though. It's what they're telling basically parents what they can and cannot give to their kids. That's what the library is there for. The library, you don't have to go to the library and you don't have to get these books, you know, but they're there. Most of these books that they're screaming about are educational books. Yes, some of them are fictional novels that deal with complicated subject matter and things that are made for teens and young adults and stuff that they're, you know, somebody might have access to. But mostly what we're talking about here are educational materials, things that provide some help for parents who are dealing with kids that are struggling in certain areas. And so they're telling them, well, we're not even going to provide this for you because it's pornography. And it's ridiculous.
Well, and we got to move on to the next subject. But you know where we're not seeing this? Birmingham. We're not seeing it in Montgomery. We're not seeing it in Tuscaloosa. And when it happened up in Huntsville, Madison, it got quashed quickly.
Almost before it started.
So this is something where they can get voters riled up about. But in the big cities, people are going, uh-uh.
That's a hard line base issue. So what it is.
Yeah, it is. So we've only got about a minute and a half. I don't know how we do this. But the Cannabis Commission had another hearing in front of Judge Anderson this week. And it looks like they're going to rescind license and start over yet again, Josh?
Man, we just ain't never going to have weed, okay? If you want weed, just call your man. Just call your man on the corner and get you some weed, okay? Because it ain't coming. It ain't coming anytime soon.
Well, Susan, the thing is that they're saying that the scoring is just a part of it. They place too much emphasis on the scoring, so they're going to redo something. We don't know what they redo.
They're not going to rescore, even though the scores are part of the problem here, in that they scored it inaccurately.
Well, I think what they're saying now is that they're going to try to approve everybody that's not an integrator, who's already been approved. They can go to work and start producing.
Yeah.
And then the lawsuit start on that.
Then the integrators are going to have to, you know, they're going to redo the integrator part. But
start over. For the love of God, just start over.
With a better process.
But they've started over so much, they sound like a country song.
Well, they started over enough times that they ought to know how to start over correctly this
time. Well, you know, you didn't let me get my country song in there.
Oh, God.
I don't have another break to come from. The country song would have been, I can't stop starting over. And that is their thing.
There you go.
They can't stop starting over. Josh, last word?
I think that's a pretty good country song.
Yeah. Well, it's by Nate Jones, I think it is. And anyway, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.